Welcome into Training Camp Report Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're going to be getting to your Twitter questions, as always, in that final segment. So go ahead and send those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We got a lot to get to today. We had the off day yesterday, and now you know, got basically three straight days of practice out here, and then that's it for camp, essentially, even though camp has technically already broken. It's a little bit of a weird system here.
Generally, that's the way it is. When you have camp at your own facility, like we have since 2009, it's kind of a fuzzy distinction when camp. It used to, you know, you're packing up from Disney or UT and coming back, and it was really obvious. Generally, the main change is you switch from morning to afternoon practices and do your walkthrough in the morning instead of at night. The coach decided to extend the camp type of schedule for this week just because it's so hot. And he just thinks we're getting better work done the way we're getting it done now. So
we're in full support of that.
The fact that Hard Knocks is still here and it's called like a show about training camp and practices are the same, this is essentially still camp all this week. And it's not going to feel that different next week either.
That's true.
You are preparing for a game, and it's the game where the starters play the most. So it's a little bit more like a regular season, but they still don't do a lot of game planning. And Coach said basically we're going to treat it as if we're preparing for a Thursday game.
Oh, okay.
So a short week. So probably that means only the Wednesday and Thursday practices will have elements devoted to getting ready for the game.
So what do you feel like today and Wednesday and Thursday are really the goals of those practices in particular are going to be?
I remember, I think it was maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, whatever, the first practice we came back from the game, maybe that was Saturday, Coach saying they were in about their 11th day of install on offense. He said pretty soon we're going to be done with install and we're going to start reviewing. So part of the reason for saying that was to expect there to still be mistakes on the field because you're still putting in place for the first time.
Right.
And things get sharper when you go through a review. You know, you install just about everything or a lot of your playbooks, so you have enough in there, he said, for five or six separate game plans. Now, when it comes to an individual week in the regular season, you're just going to pick and choose from that and not practice everything. You're going to practice what's in your game plan for that week.
Okay. And we actually had a roster move this morning. We, you know, this time of year in camp, it's usually some kind of minor ones at the end, but this one is a little bit different.
You might consider it minor in that it's not the position people look at the most,
right,
long snapper, but on the other hand, it's kind of a pretty intriguing move.
Yeah.
Andrew DePaula is back, or as we know him, Depot. You like him because he's so good at
he's
all those
great
interviews.
For all my stuff. I mean, when you interview the long snapper every single week, you know he has a great personality.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy. Now, it's an interesting situation. This was our long snapper for the last 3 years, every game, 48 games, but he hurt his knee in the last one, and as a result, he was still very much in the early stages of rehab when the offseason began. He was not extended a qualifying offer as a restricted free agent, which made him just a free agent. And so basically he's been a free agent since then. And the Buccaneers signed Garrison Sanborn, who had been Buffalo's long snapper for 9 years but had been let go. Now re-signing Andrew obviously means there's some sort of competition there, one would assume, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's very common. We haven't seen it a lot for you to suddenly have a long snapper competition 3 weeks into training camp. We've had it before. We've had two of them. But for one to be created, and not like we've seen a lot of bad snaps or anything that would make you run out and go, we better get another long snapper.
Right.
We hadn't even thought about it.
No.
Right? So that would indicate there hasn't, to the naked eye at least, been any sort of issue.
Yeah.
It could just be that Andrew's now healthy, and he got a tryout, and he looked just as good as he had been, so you bring him in and see which guy's best for the job.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and maybe even just the consistency of that, of wanting, you know, obviously with Anger being the holder, that Anger and DePaula had worked together all last year,
true,
that you never know if maybe there's something about the consistency there. I don't even remotely pretend to be an expert on long snapping. But.
And I'll say this, and I don't know which one, so I'm not putting, I'm not saying one over the other here between Andrew and Garrison. But the other half of being a long snapper is after you snap, you go down and you cover the punt. Maybe one of them will prove to be better than the other one, because that's an important part of the job. They
that's
don't make a
true.
Ton of tackles, but they're part of the 11. So, and I don't know which one's better, so I'm not saying that we're brought back for that reason, but that could be part of the deciding factor.
And the person that had to be let go to make room for this is Judah Jibrima, and it was a waived injured situation.
Yeah.
So I know we hadn't really known a lot about his injury, that we knew it looked like it wasn't great and he was going to be out for at least a little while.
Yeah.
But I guess this obviously gave us a little bit more clarity on what they were thinking with his injury.
Yeah, part of it, it'll be interesting to see, because when you waive a player with the waived injured designation, they go through waivers. If they're claimed by somebody, then they're claimed by somebody. If they're not, then they automatically revert to your injured reserve. If we were to leave him on injured reserve, then that would indicate to me that he probably had a, what would be considered a season-long injury. If they work out an injury settlement and he moves on, that would probably indicate that he thinks he can return to action before the season is over, which would likely be with another team, although he could come back to the Bucks after a certain period of time.
Which is
so we'll know a little bit more when the second half of that transaction takes place.
Does that help give us any clarity on that position overall? I mean, when we weren't sure how long he might be out, you know, we didn't really know what that might mean for the other guys in terms of who might make the roster or the depth there. Does that give us any clarity?
Yeah, and I think Coach pretty much addressed that the other day when somebody asked about the cornerbacks. He said Robert McClain, as we know, Robert McClain and Javian Elliott are fighting for that nickel job, which is essentially a starting position, but they're also working on the outside too, which makes them a good reserve. And then Ryan Smith is working outside, and those two plus Brent Grimes and Vernon Hargraves, he said, are the top five. And didn't mention Jude at that time, probably because, you know, coaches worry more about the players that they have available. So an indication that he didn't really think Jude was going to be in the picture for a little while, which now we know is obviously the case. So I think you got those five guys have a very good shot of making this roster unless something happens, because they're the top five guys right now. We're only a few weeks away. Now, we might keep six cornerbacks, so that doesn't mean everybody else is out of it.
We talked about how that's one of the few positions where the starting job is still really pretty up for grabs, and they talk about, you know, the nickel position, and the third preseason game is when you tend to see the starters play the most. So do you see that as being where all of a sudden we're really going to see who that is if they get a lot more playing time, or do you think it's still something that gets split quite a bit?
Yeah, your first scenario there is certainly possible, and I would be guessing, however, it'd be more like your second scenario. If those two guys really are in a tight competition, and that's certainly the way Coach Cutter made it sound the other day, then this is, since the starters are going to be in there that long, this is a perfect opportunity to give them both a very big chunk of playing time with all the other starters around them. Mm. You know, when you play the first game of the season and the starting defense is only in for a quarter or less, you don't really have a whole lot of time to give equal number of snaps. Now it would seem like you would.
That's really interesting. And then also I know that everybody's really looking forward to Jameis getting a little bit longer time in there. Is that something that you're really looking forward to seeing?
Yes, absolutely. And before we leave the cornerbacks, we should also point out that Brent Grimes is back in practice.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Now, Coach said at the beginning of the week that he thought it was doubtful he would play in the game, which means he really won't play in the preseason, but I don't think any of us are concerned about that.
Yeah, I think he seems like he knows what he's doing.
Certainly good to see him running around again. I know he was itching to get back on the field, so this is good for him.
Yeah.
As for Jameis, maybe we'll continue to talk about this in the next segment, because there's a lot to talk about here. But, yes, seeing the starting offense in for two quarters plus some time in the third quarter is probably what I'm looking forward to the most in this game. What's nice is that in the first two games, in contrast to some of the games last year, Jameis was able to really settle into groove right away. You know, we saw that wasn't the case sometimes last year. And so we actually have got to see him at his best, or close to his best, for at least this part of the year already. But now we should see an extended period of time. And I know their big thing is to do better in the red zone. They already were doing better, well, all over the field, just weren't satisfied with the results in the red zone. But I think Jameis's performance in the preseason games and in camp, especially the last week or so, is probably the most encouraging thing about this team right now. It needed to be good. You know, we needed Jameis to take another step forward for this team to take another step forward. Now, again, it's just like we've been talking about all season about how this looks like a great offense on paper. It's not totally on paper now. He's shown it on the field a little bit. We can't say that Jameis has taken that next step yet. You know, we haven't hit a regular season game yet. But it certainly looks like he's going to.
Which is huge. That's got to be everybody's biggest thing they're looking forward to on Saturday. And, yeah, we're going to continue to talk about Jameis and all the things that we hope to see in that preseason game on Saturday. We're also going to get to your Twitter questions in that final segment. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Buccaneers are trending upwards, and they re-signed guys they wanted, and they left enough room to bring back all the key pieces from this year.
This is great for Deshaun. Now you put him in a mix with Jameis and Mike Evans, I feel like this guy is about to explode.
Deshaun Jackson, touchdown!
The Buccaneers had a really good day. They also signed Chris Baker from the Redskins, who's a good defensive lineman. People are excited about Tampa.
This is the most exciting Buccaneers offense in the franchise history.
They're so talented, and they're so young, and you almost think if there's just one more piece, are they going to find that one more piece in the draft that can change everything?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the only team in the NFL that can say every single guy they drafted probably should have been or could have been off the board by the time they got the player. To get O.J. Howard at 19 is absurd.
They get a top five prospect to a team that was already going to be very explosive on offense.
Everyone in the NFC need to look out. This is dangerous. Yeah.
Welcome back into Training Camp Report Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we still are going to get to your Twitter questions in that final segment. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. And we were talking about Jameis a little bit in the end of last segment. Didn't quite get all of it in that we wanted to, so we're going to continue here. And we talked a little bit about how just him getting more time to get in the rhythm, to get things going, and definitely the red zone stuff as well. Are there any individual people you really want to see him build a little bit more of that chemistry with or get some of those connections with?
Yeah, you know, you want to see him continue to build that chemistry with O.J. Howard. But I think we're actually seeing that on the practice field. There was a red zone 7-on-7 and then red zone 11-on-11 couple periods on Sunday's practice. And he was really, really sharp. I mean, his first four passes were touchdown to Cambray, touchdown to O.J. Howard, probably a touchdown to DeSean Jackson. He caught it like at the one, and the defender maybe could have tackled him, but it looked like he would have got in. And then touchdown to O.J. Howard, and that was his four reps, and they went on to the
second
team.
We'll take that.
Right.
4-4, that's pretty,
yeah, so
pretty decent.
Coach mentioned that, you know, I feel the same way with the coach, that this word chemistry is, it's hard to define and maybe overused a little bit, but you know when a couple of players on offense, when a quarterback and a target are doing a good job of connecting and know where, you know, the quarterback knows what kind of routes are going to be run, knows he can trust his hands, that kind of thing. And he clearly had that last year with Cambray. He thought going into last year it wasn't good enough with Mike Evans, and that was a big improvement last year. So you're there. And then, you know, when you talk about chemistry with DeSean Jackson, it's probably just, can we throw the deep ball right, you know, because he's so fast. They hit one on Saturday or Sunday. And Jameis said he just threw it just about as far as he could, and Deshaun just ran under. That was the one where they had the little alley-oop afterwards.
Yeah, which is pretty great.
Which I think is still an illegal celebration, but that's why
tragic.
They do it out here. But that was pretty good. Yeah, Deshaun alley-ooped it to Mike Evans on the goalpost. But, you know, the thing that I think we're seeing with Jameis is we're seeing the lesson that we heard so much in the offseason from coach and from everybody, that we need to take what the defense is giving us being put into play. You know, it's the kind of thing you really shouldn't expect a rookie quarterback with a great arm and so much talent not to come into this league and, you know, sling it around a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to take that out. You don't want to take that gunslinger out of Jameis, but he has to learn through experience. Mm-hmm. Coach often talks about that. He reminds us this guy is 20. He's 23 years old.
Just crazy.
He's played two seasons. He's not Tom Brady. He's not 39.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen everything. So don't expect perfection. But a step forward in Jameis's progress is taking what the defense gives you, and that should be more options now with all the great weapons we have on the field. Now look at the numbers through two games so far. 71% completion percentage. Last year, or over his first 2 years, he's at about 59%, which is below league average, okay? And in this offense, Coach Cutter said before, in this offense, don't necessarily expect him to throw 70% like a Drew Brees because we take a lot of downfield shots, and it's obviously a lower percentage,
no matter who you are.
Right. So, but he's up there now, and if you think that's a small sample size, you know, three quarters roughly in two games, also keep in mind that they're tracking every pass in every practice from OTAs on, and Coach Cutter says that his percentage has been right about there in practice as well. So far in the preseason, his yards per attempt is down, and that's an area where he's always been above average. You obviously don't want that number to go down, but it's an indication, and we've seen it, and you can remember if you watch two games, you've seen it with your own two eyes. It's been a lot of, you know, 10 yards to Adam Humphries or whatever, because that's who's been open. Now, as that continues to work, and as the running game continues to work as it did in the last one.
Just a nice little appearance there by Ron.
Well, forgive him because he's a Cardinals fan. you're going to open up. If the running game's working, you're going to open up the play action, and you're going to hit those downfield shots. It just hasn't happened yet. We did actually, he did throw one really nice downfield pass that Mike Evans just wasn't quite able to haul in. And so you saw that in action. So I think we should all be heartened by the fact that his completion percentage is up so much.
That's true. And I feel like the completion rate and the yards per attempt thing are going to kind of be opposites a little bit if you think about it. And so that makes sense that if, you know, he was above average and one below average and the other, that would be.
And it's flipped.
Usually, and now if it flips, that's going to be kind of how that works. It's going to be very, very challenging to have both of those go up.
But you could still be above average in both.
In both of
and
them,
he's above average now, if we just take his numbers as they are now. He's above league average in completion percentage and just a little bit below in yards per attempt. And his yards per completion is actually down even more, which is an indication of the same thing. But it's not that much to get that up a little bit. And that's when that'll happen when you throw in your occasional 50-yard pass in there. So if we're not relying on every completion being 17, 18 yards, we can move the ball down the field with surgical strikes to O.J. Howard and Cam Brayton and DeSean Jackson and everybody. You know, it just opens up what your offense can do.
That's true. And I think the offensive line in general, I think, is going to be something I'll be interested to see this week in particular, not knowing, you know, exactly what DeMar Dotson's situation is going to be, to see what they do to replace him in this game and what that could look like moving forward, I think would be really interesting.
I think it'll be interesting if they try several different things. Actually, probably either way, because if they do one thing and stick with it, then you'll probably know, okay, that's our plan without DeMar. Now, let's also point out that DeMar said very emphatically that he was not going to be out for the opening.
Right.
He's going to be back, according to him, and there's obviously coach didn't seem too concerned about it. He said more than a week he'll be out, which actually sounds pretty good to me because we got more than 2 weeks before the game.
Right, so that seems like he'd be good.
Yeah. So it sounds like this isn't going to be an issue, but you always have to have contingency plans ready. So you know, we've talked about the options. Do you just put Caleb Bennenock or Leonard Wester there? Do you move Kevin Pamphill there and put Evan Smith at left guard, which sounded to me like what coach that might be their first
leaning
option.
Towards, yeah.
Or you could even go more radical, Kevin Pamphill out to tackle, Allie back to guard, and then Joe Holly to center. But I know they're really liking the way this Allie Marpet at center thing is going. In addition, if you move him back to guard, either him or J.R. Sweezy is going to have to play left guard when both of them have really only played right guard so far. Not that that's beyond either their capabilities, but you'd still, we're talking about basically upheaval at least three spots, if not four.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that probably getting that experience for Allie at center is a big priority in this game.
That's a good point as well. Because he didn't play the first game.
You know, they didn't play that long the second game. So I feel like he probably is one of those people that they do want to see a lot of reps from in this game as well, which is interesting.
I agree completely. So I think you're right. We'll see Allie at center in this game for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get to some of your Twitter questions. In the final segment, I know one of the things we were planning on talking about a little bit was what we were looking forward to hopefully seeing in Hard Knocks tonight.
So let us know what you think.
So, yeah, we want to hear what your thoughts are. What do you want to see in? What do you think you're going to see in? All of that stuff. Use all of the, doing the hashtag Bucks Live. Questions, comments, we'll take all of it. We'll get to that in our next segment. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
dropping is Ryan. Ryan under pressure. He goes down. He's sacked at the 38-yard line. Wow, what a play. Empty backfield for Keenum. Looks to his right. Gets the pass. It's picked off. Intercepted at the 30. To the 25. To the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. A defense strikes first. A snap. Winston looks sideline by Bayron toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder. From the 49, play action fake on the inside. And Gerald McCoy's going to wrap up Ryan and sack him at the 45. That is super quick, Gerald McCoy. Here's the snap, and Winston dropping to the hook of pressure. Winston avoids it and rolls out to the right side, still looking. Silly, he's back in his own end zone. Look out, Davis. Got a block. Winston running. Got a block again. He's still alive. Throws the ball downfield. He's got Mike Evans, and he goes to bench to catch at the 38-yard line. What a play by Jameis Winston. Here's the snap. Breeze, three steps back. You're low to the long ball. It is knocked away, and it's picked off. Picked off at the 29. Picked off by the Buccaneers. Vernon Hargreaves has his first career interception.
Welcome back into Training Camp Report Live, presented by Miller Lite, Casey Phillips, and Scott Smith here. It's time for our final segment, which is getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in throughout this segment. Use that hashtag, BucksLive. Our first one comes from Blaine, and he says, how often do you think we'll see a two tight end set this year?
I feel like we've answered that several times already, but not everybody can see every show.
Right.
A lot. We already were one of the teams that we're high in our percentage use, and I should probably look this up because I say this every time we answer this question. I can't remember the exact number, but I think I remember being the 25% of plays range, which is a lot,
yeah,
to have two tight ends on the field. But it's just, you know, with the addition of O.J. Howard, it's just such a – there's so many possibilities out of that set, because think about it. The first reason you ever put two tight ends on the field is for blocking.
Right.
So it's a great run set, mm-hmm. especially now. You would think the most likely one would be O.J. Howard, who's apparently blocking really well, as was his scouting report, and Cam Brait, and that's dangerous for opposing teams in terms of, who's going to – maybe one goes out for a pass, maybe both go out for a pass. It's hard to figure out what they're going to do. How do you match up with that? Do you bring in a nickel? Do you put a safety on one of the – tight ends, and if so, which one? You know, so it's tough. But here's another one, and actually Alan Cross started the Jacksonville game, I believe, because he was in a certain formation. So you could have O.J. Howard and Alan Cross. Now, Alan could line up on the line like a tight end. He could line up as a fullback. He could just be a straight, he's a lead blocker play. He could line up as a fullback, go in motion in the slot and go out for a pass, because mm-hmm. he's pretty good at that. So there's a lot of combinations there. You could bring Luke Stocker in with O.J. Howard, and now you got a pretty dominant blocking line for short yards or goal line. So there's tons of situations. There's virtually no game situation where our two tight end set wouldn't be a good idea.
Which is maybe, kind of awesome.
Maybe even third and like third. You wouldn't think that's what you would do on third and 17. You'd think you'd have like three receivers on the field for sure, right? But I don't know. With Cam Brait
and O.J. Howard, both those,
good
work
on the seams. Yeah. I think you could use our that's what we call, by the way, 12 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could see 12 personnel in just about any game situation, which is pretty great.
Which is pretty exciting. And I do think it will confuse the fantasy players out there of whether or not either of our tight ends are either an awesome person to draft or a terrible person, because we're going to be spreading it around so much they may not get very much.
I've had one draft so far, and both our guys went pretty late for that very reason, because mm-hmm. you just really don't know.
Which is going to be interesting.
Our situation at tight end is great for the team, but not necessarily for fantasy.
Yeah, that's true. D says, any word on Tampa being on Amazon Series All or Nothing? Because it's this, I guess he's asking because it's the same crew of people for the most part who does Hard Knocks, and last year they did the Rams for both.
I have not heard, have you?
No, I haven't heard anything. And I don't know if that's their goal of trying to do the same team, because they didn't the first year.
Okay.
It was two different teams of Hard Knocks and All or Nothing. Last year it happened to be the same, and that may have just been a unique situation because of the Rams and the relocation and all of that stuff.
Well,
so,
this certainly isn't definitive, but we can say from experience here that in this offseason, in the lead up, there was an awful lot of chatter about there being a good chance that we'd be on Hard Knocks, right? We heard, and then it happened.
Right.
Now, I personally haven't heard. Have you heard anything? Heard any rumors? Anybody talking about
nope.
All or Nothing? So that's not definitive, obviously, but it makes me wonder for sure.
That's a very good point. Daniel says, do you think our red zone offensive struggles so far could be because it's just preseason and you're not game planning or doing really crazy play calls in that time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, think about it. When we got down there the first time in the opening game in Cincinnati, our second and third down plays were the exact same play two times in a row. I don't think you see that a lot, right? And it was just a simple play. It was like, it wasn't even a fade to the corner. It was more like Mike just sort of does it out, bodies up the cornerback and, you know, beats him, turns around and catches it. And, you know, those plays, either one of them could have worked. As Jameis pointed out, in a regular season game, maybe we would have got a fortunate flag call. Mm-hmm. And the second one certainly looked like it could have been pass interference. And then you got first and goal and you're probably going to score. So those two plays, there was a lack of execution. Either the pass wasn't perfect or the receiver was unable to get away from the corner or whatever. But also, it was obviously pretty vanilla play calling.
Mm-hmm.
So we've certainly seen them look good in the red zone here in practice, and that's against a pretty good defense. But, yes, that Daniel's point is well taken. A lot of it has to do probably with you don't want to show. If you got some really good red zone plays, why show them now?
Yeah, don't show your cards.
Everybody knows you can run a fade.
Right, yeah.
Especially with Mike Evans on your team.
Right.
So you're not giving anything away by running a fade. But
that makes sense.
I'm sure we have some other stuff in there.
Yeah. Sean says, I don't feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about Chris Baker and how he has or has not come in and contributed. What are your thoughts?
The only thing I would say about Chris Baker, well, I'd say two things. He has started both games, and the starting offense has not given up a point yet. So think about this in terms of how the starting defense hasn't given up a point, how the defense as a whole has performed. I mean, you know, you're only in a typical half, you're only going to have a handful of guys that make those plays, like Levante David or something. So you may not notice that Gerald McCoy and Chris Baker are dominating in the middle, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, Coach did say the other day that just due to little nagging things, Chris hasn't been able to practice quite as much in training camp as they would have liked. So, you know, it's fair to say that maybe he hasn't gotten into the groove yet because it hasn't had quite as much time on the field as they'd like.
Yeah, that's true. John wants to know what we are most hoping to see on Hard Knocks tonight.
Well, boy, somebody answered the call.
I know.
There,
I was like,
you?
Look at that.
Somebody ask us about Hard Knocks, please.
Yeah.
You want to go first? You got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in general, I'm interested to see what they include from the Jacksonville joint practices. I mean, for one thing, selfishly as a fan, you kind of want to see the fights and what kind of footage they got of that, because that's
sure
always entertaining. I don't know. I'm not sure they will either, but who knows? But I think that would be interesting to see kind of if you know a little bit more about what led to it, if they're mic'd up and stuff like that, because we're just watching. Also, we see a fight break out. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So I think that's always interesting. And I heard that something got shot this week, but I don't know if it would go in this episode or next. But the rookies, I think, had to do another little performance.
Oh, that'll make it
in. And the first one was so good that I have very high expectations of this one when they had to sing for the first episode. So because that was good, I'm hoping this one. I think I heard this one is a little bit more of some, like, maybe impersonations. Or skits of something like that. So
nice.
I don't know if that's going to be – because it was just on Sunday, I think. That's kind of close to make it in this – episode, it may be in the next. I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful.
Isn't it funny that how ingrained that sort of make the rookies prance around thing is in sports?
Yeah.
I mean, you might expect it in high school and college, but these are grown men, and it's still part of the of the environment, of the atmosphere of a football
I'm glad
team.
That we don't have that for our jobs, that when I came in as a rookie a few years ago,
Dance,
that wasn't
Casey.
Required. Yeah. How about you? Anything for you?
Well, I liked in the last episode the funny stuff that you weren't expecting, the stuff behind the scenes or on the sidelines. So that's what I really like about Hard Knocks. I think seeing the players get cut is dramatic and moving, but also a little uncomfortable. So I can't necessarily say I'm looking forward to that.
You don't want to enjoy watching that.
So probably just the funny stuff.
All right, I like that. That's going to do it for us in this edition of Training Camp Live presented by Miller Lite. We're going to be back again tomorrow, so make sure you continue to send in all those questions. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we're actually hoping we might be able to get a couple of our scouts on. They're back in town after being off on the road the whole last, you know, month, essentially, of training camp, and they're back in town, so hopefully we can grab one of them. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.